Like, if he says he likes a thick bitch, then Jin likes a thick bitch. Like, what is it that you're not understanding? What's not clicking, Steven? Cash at me right now. Oh my God, that's horrible. It's the gummy. Hello, welcome to Grown Ass Fandom. Can I tell you a secret? I'm re-recording this because was it an accident? No. I was feeling just sort of like overwhelmed by the prospect of doing this podcast because it's just like so much that I took a gummy and I spoke for like 25 minutes and it's just like the podcast got better as it went along. So I'm actually going back to the past to re-record this part because it was just complete gobbledygook. Like I went into my like, I was tripping. Don't do drugs, kids. Don't do drugs. By the way, I am in the state of California. I operate in the state of California where it is legal to be high, but I decided to come back and record it. Okay. So like I said, welcome to Grown Ass Fandom. This is the Thanksgiving edition. I hope you guys have a good Thanksgiving or a happy Friends Day or something else because, you know, Thanksgiving, we don't want to like, you know, all that awfulness. But I'm going to try to keep it light this podcast intro. It gotten dark. Okay. So basically, we're going to be covering BTS in LA today. I really want to cover Monsta X and a couple other things, but I'm not going to have room or time to do it in this episode. So hopefully I will be able to cover it another time or a TikTok or whatever. So BTS is in LA. I'm sure I talk about it all the time. I live in Long Beach, so just outside of LA. I used to live in LA. I lived in LA for years and I moved to Long Beach. I live by the beach, all that stuff. So they're pretty close. And it's definitely been an experience for sure. Like when I knew that they were coming, I knew that I would know people or have associates or have people in my circle that would encounter them. I didn't think it was going to be this much. And originally I was going to recount them all, but it's like, whatever. Just know that BTS has been sort of like at least 1 or 2 degrees away in a bunch of different ways. And it's been really like the experience of seeing BTS out in the world is very overwhelming. I know a couple of you guys have talked to me about it, especially as pandemic armies, because we are very much used to BTS being in very controlled environments. So despite the fact that there's media and content and videos and stuff like that, that can show us moments from the past, their documentaries, famous videos and stuff like that, they're not within the context of our experience now as we're experiencing them now. So I think a lot of pandemic armies are having a really intense experience with seeing BTS out in the world because, like I said, they are essentially actors in a fantasy game. And so it's like people kind of stepping out of the fantasy game and talking to you and like being out in the world. And for me, it was really, really intense to see them at places I've been to, like I said, see associates, somebody's boyfriend's cousin, be like, oh yeah, is this the band that Shanae likes? And it being BTS, and they just show up this place or that place or that place or that place, and sort of like the pressure around that. And it's actually been kind of stressful. Like, kind of want them to go home. And like through this process, I've been really trying to think about, you know, again, we're just going to celebrate them being here and stuff like that and vibe. Because like I said, I don't ever 100% know whether my response to the BTS stuff is because it's like a normal reaction that everybody has, or if it's a reaction that's a lot of times also fueled by like my OCD and sort of like the hyperfixation. And it's so funny because I think a lot of people talk a lot about hyperfixation. It's like a real like buzzword these days, and it's like, what am I hyper focused on, and you know, TikTok, which by the way, I'm not taking anything away from you if you describe yourself that way, but as like somebody diagnosed with OCD, hyperfixation is not like fun. It's sort of like awful. So like the BTS activities and stuff like that really triggers that aspect of my brain chemistry that's sort of like, you know, whatever, and so it ends up being really intense and anxious in a way that's like not necessarily fun. And I would love to hear if that's how you experience it, or if, like I said, if it's just me, my mental illness stuff going on, and my own sort of like personality hitting it in a certain way. Because I go on Twitter and it's like, where are they? What are they? And it's like intensity, this all time type of stuff. And it could be, like I said, it could be because we're not used to it, right? Like we're not used to having to learn how to ignore certain things and not feeling very scarce. Because I think a lot of pandemic armies feel a lot of scarcity around, oh my God, I feel such, God, it's just flowing out so much easier now. Oh my God. Yeah, it's like pandemic armies are like, are just not used to, like, we're very scarce. So like BTS appearances and stuff like that are very rare, and we're just not like used to it. And so I'm curious if you experience it in that way, or like, and I wonder, something I wonder about around this is that if it's like, first of all, is it a function of like how busy your life is and your world is? And like, so like, for example, if you are somebody who has a really intense work life that's not very fulfilling, and you so kind of keeping up with BTS and their activities is like a fun outlet that's kind of stressful, but it's like in a fun whatever type of stressful, right? But I feel like if your life is already kind of like prone to drama and like lots of stuff happening, and you have a lot going on and you have a lot that you want to do, then the extra energy feels like it's not an escape. And I also, it could just be because I do this, right? It's because I have a podcast. It's because I have TikToks. And so when something comes out, you're like, oh, should I do a TikTok about this? And being able to respond to everything, it could be that. I'm not sure. I should ask other TikTokers. I don't really know that many TikTokers. I'm going to try, guys. I'm going to really try. And if you're a TikToker if you're another creator who listens to this podcast, you should just reach out. Yeah. So I don't know if I'm experiencing it that way. And so a lot of times maybe I'm projecting my experience on y'all. And I know that I've talked to people in the past about this conflict of like, oh, it's just supposed to be fun if you vibe, and if you don't vibe, then what's the point, and whatever, and it's an escape. And I kind of related to that, but I guess, like I said, because of the function of the life, my life, and the way my life operates, maybe I don't necessarily, I see it, I feel like it different. So like this time has been kind of like intense and like in a way that feels a little out of control. And I don't actually know how to kind of like deal with that yet. You know, I'm still like navigating the conversation around it, and like, and sort of kind of figure out like how much of like how much stress am I willing to be under for BTS? Do you know what I mean? Like how much of this, like, and I think it's especially like relevant because I like my friends, I've had like a friendship intervention because of like on Friday, and I'll talk about this in a little bit about how like, you know, on Friday, the fact that there's like so many like connections in my world for BTS, but no connections that I could actually like utilize for myself to meet them, ended up triggering some like real like bad feelings about potentially becoming a failure at my writing and never knowing the exact right people to make my opportunities happen and my dreams come true and how, and like that stuff, and just like never being in the right place at the right time, and it's close but not close enough, and like not being, and you could hear it a little bit too in my like TikTok stuff, where it's like feeling like that I'm not like, that I'm social, but I'm not very good at networking, and like the politics around social media, I've never been good at. So it ended up triggering something around that where I was like, ah! I had a breakdown on Twitter. And my friends were like, hey, is this fun? Like, are you stressed? And I was like, yeah, it's fun. But yeah, I'd be curious to see, like, how do you guys feel about that? Again, and you can tell me if it's just like a function of how I have to interact with it as a content creator, but like May doesn't do that, you know, she's on the podcast, like she seems pretty happy, doesn't she? She seems pretty chill. She gets on and she just like, I don't know. So that's just me talking about the experience of it being here and like how intense it is and how it feels like it unwraps a lot of stuff. I feel like that's always the thing about BTS is that like, I feel like my interactions with them in the situations always ends up teaching me something about something that I wasn't sure about. So yeah, I think that's sort of thinking about, you know, them being here and what it means and how it's affected me. And just please share with me your story as a pandemic army watching all this. What's the experience been like for you specifically? And I want to know because yeah, so we're going to talk about that stuff. So let's move on. Okay, so it's time to talk about the sort of the Maknae line and Hobie out and about. First of all, okay, so first they were seen out in West Hollywood going to one of BTS's biggest like photo ops, I guess. Hobie goes there all the time. He's taking a picture every time he's gone. It's like a high-end store in kind of West Hollywood. I think it's on, I forget what street it's on. But so there was that. And I think it is really interesting that they are the ones who are kind of like out and about. And that's mostly the Hyung line who is sort of like in their rooms sleeping or whatever. It's interesting to know, considering like, so if you listen to the last week's episodes, we had our kind of like fun rankings or whatever. And so all the people on the bottom are in the hotel right now, except for Jin. So Jin was high up on our list, but he didn't go out. What does that mean? Does it mean anything? I don't know. Like, I don't think that, I know that Jin said that he's somebody who likes to just go home and do nothing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he wouldn't be fun out if you remember the way that we ranked them and talked about them. So anyways, so they went to the Harry Styles concert, and there's so much to unpack as far as the footage that we saw of them. And so first of all, drunk, all of them, just completely zooted. It was giving strong millennial wine mom, it's been a long week, had a fight with her husband, just wanting to feel something vibes. And that's not me being judgy, because literally that's my vibes all the time and I don't have kids, but that was a vibe. It's like, you know, again, I always go on and on and on about like how like BTS is just like, they are true millennials. And I know that mostly they're millennials, but they like appeal to younger people, but they just are so, and I wonder why they have so many fans that are in around my age range. And I feel like one of the reasons why in our age range are really attracted to BTS is it seems like they just are one of us, even though I feel like they're younger than a lot of us, but like they act and the way they show up in the world feels older to me. And it feels like the type of vibing that was like very much of our era. Like I was like, they just, again, like the whole millennial wine mom sort of like old school partying type of vibe. I don't know. It just gave me older, because I actually don't. And speaking of, like, I don't know if you've like been to a show with people that, like, it's just different, right? And like the way that like they didn't have their phones and they were just like watching mostly is like also, I feel like, a very millennial thing. Because I remember I went to a concert and everybody had their phones out and was taking videos, like, and I was like, I couldn't be bothered. And I was like, I wonder if it's because I feel like the kind of having phones up at shows like the whole time is fairly recent within the last like 5 or 6 years. Because when I was in my early 20s, when we were going to shows and stuff like that, we weren't doing that. Like, you would take one or two pictures and then you would listen. So I don't know, that whole vibe, it just gave me millennial and it just like made me super happy. We will talk about Lizzo. And sort of like, and also I know a lot of you guys mentioned Jimin's comments. We'll talk about those. But yeah, so just the overall vibes, zooted millennial wine mom, aka me. Like when you look at me, so yeah, this is going out tomorrow. It's your pre-Thanksgiving treat. And I'm just like literally giving freed parent who finally gets to go out, no, just leave me alone. Just let me vibe in my hazmat suit. I'm not actually wearing a hazmat suit. That's something that a lot of people asked about is like outfits and all that other stuff. You know, this is a really interesting, like usual, and like I was talking about, maybe I talked about it earlier, like the beginning of this podcast was rough, and so I don't know how much I left in. But in the beginning of the podcast, I was talking about how, you know, BTS inspires and brings up other things. And the other thing was like me sort of like reconnecting with my sense of style. Like when I went to Korea, I kept it pretty basic and simple. I feel like I looked good and I was like really starting to get my style back because, like I said, I've been in the house for like 2 years and I was like, what is my style? Like, what do I like? I'm not sure anymore. But looking for outfits for BTS, because I did look and think about it, I wasn't going to. Like, I literally was just gonna like wear a t-shirt in jeans. But one of the people I'm going with for the one of the people, May, she is really, isn't that awful? I said one of the people, duh. She oh my gosh, my brain. She's really excited and was like getting really into outfits. And I'm going to two shows. I'm going with May on the first show, and the second show I'm going with Natalie from Army Sisters. You guys know Army Sisters? She's going to come on the podcast, I think, and talk about the In the Soup. That was her request. But she's really into fashion. She was doing fashion videos and stuff like that. And I was like, I can't stand next to May and look busted. So I guess I have to think about it too. And it was just like a fun journey into thinking about like what my style is again. How do I want to look? How do I want to like present myself? Because it's also like weird because it's true. Like I feel like ordinarily in the concert, you only meet like the other people around you, but I'm going to be meeting quite a few people. So I guess we will see what I wear at the time. I will take a picture. I will try to take a picture of that. So anyway, back to the concert. So BTS is there due to just kind of like doing their things. And I feel like I'm going to be very similar to them at the concert, just like living my life, dancing like a boomer, all that good stuff. So I feel like you should go through like each of the members and kind of just like discuss their general party vibe and how much it reflects sort of like their real life vibe and kind of what's the energy and how it, you know what I mean? Because the thing about them being, okay, I'm going to make a couple of like interesting takes here. The thing about them being there is that reflection of like their actual how they party style or what? Because they were watched the whole time. I can't imagine trying to enjoy a concert, but knowing that people were constantly watching you and sort of like looking at you. I feel like we did get some good footage, but it seemed like the Harry Styles people who were there were trying to like, can you imagine you go because you love Harry Styles and you have to kind of contend with your love of BTS and like where you would pay attention? So let's go through each member. Okay, so we'll start with Hobie and describe Hobie's vibe. Like Hobie was like literally giving kind of mom who took her younger friends out and is just wanting to get drunk and party, but wants to make sure everybody's okay, wants to make sure business is taken care of, and they're sort of like navigating everything kind of vibes, you know? Like leader, like if you had like a, what was that movie, Bad Moms? Do you guys remember that movie, Bad Moms? I don't remember who's in it, but like the energy of like the serious one who has that one day where they like totally like go loose. That was the vibes Hobie was giving me. Do I think that's reflective of his real party stuff? I don't think so. I think he was definitely trying to be careful. He was vibing. He was having fun, but I think he just was trying to like, I think it was like their first outing that they'd been at all, it seems like, as far as concerts and stuff like that. Like they really had those boys under lockdown. So I feel like he was a little bit more conscious of it. I know people are like, does Kobe still get his number one spot? I think he does. Like, because I have some caveats for some of the other members, but I'm going to leave him there for now. And as we go to the others, maybe I will move him to a different number. So, yes. So then there's JK's, and JK's vibe is pretty much what I would expect. I feel like it's kind of sort of like how I described it in the last episode was just sort of like he's vibing, having fun. It's really dependent on the energy around him. Like he meets the energy around him type of partying. So I feel like his ranking still stays. I think he was, what, 4 or 5? And I feel like that's still, I guess, because somebody's like, oh, maybe he's like 2 or 3 because of that. I don't know. Again, like, I feel like the list has a lot of problems. So it just is really subjective of like the kind of night you want to have and like what you want the energy and what is considered good. Like, is it good if you have really good conversations and vibe? Is it good when you have stories and stuff like that? So that's like the vibe with JK, just sort of like, you know, feeling it, you know, off the energy of Tay and just like vibing and in his own world. And it's just like kind of like JK then is JK all the, like sort of like all the time, you know. He's like a very, he's like a very focused drunk, it seems, like just like kind of like, oh, I'm having my experience, I'm doing my thing, let me just sort of like stand here and like be in this spot. So that's kind of like, I feel like JK's vibe. And I feel like, yes, yeah, so we'll talk about the ranking. And then there's Tay, of course. And Tay was just like, just wild, just like wild, repressed. Like, I think I said this with in New York too. It's just like Tay just seems like he's been bottled up and he's just like ready to unleash. Like, he just wants to be like as sort of like in his body and unrestrained as possible. He was having such a good time. I feel like Tay is like the ultimate vibe, just like really enjoying it, full force, socializing and being with the people around him, doesn't matter who it is, and just like vibing. And so I do feel bad about putting Tay lower down the list. I feel like I would bring him higher after seeing, I feel like I have a lot of data to support that. But then again, is it still like the on and off thing where it's like it's on if it's on and if it's not, it's not type of thing? I don't know. So yeah, I just think that Tay, it's just giving just all that wonderful energy. And he just seemed like he had a really good time vibing with everybody, hugging everybody, just drunk, just like real drunk. And I love that for him. And now there's Jimin. And I feel like Jimin was very much very reserved. He's been pretty reserved this whole trip. And I don't know if it's because he's nervous and overwhelmed by everything or something is weighing on his heart or something, but he definitely was more reserved. Or maybe he was just being careful, but he did seem to have a really good time. And just like Jimin just seems to have like a really like pleasant spirit. Does that make sense? Like a very like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, I feel bad that I called him predatory that one time. And that one time, I mean last week. But yeah, like I just felt like it was interesting to see his, because, okay, it's just really interesting to see his energy around, like I said earlier, as you know, pandemic armies, we never got to see BTS really out and about and live. Mei made this excellent point in her TikTok about this, about how, like, you know, for pandemic armies, they don't feel real. Everything is pre-recorded. Nothing feels like really, really live and there, and they're being set up and everybody around them is a part of this whole agenda around them. And so like seeing them in the real world and having and interacting with people and doing stuff is just really kind of just cool. And it's interesting. And of course it's overwhelming, like I said before, but it kind of gives you a better read off of people's personalities and their energies. Watching the footage, it just feels different because it's right here. It's right now in the moment. We can really anchor them into place. And even with VLive, you know, they can control everything, but, you know, so kind of what I'm saying by that, and I feel like I'm repeating myself, is that Jimin, his, like, energy feels different now that I've seen him live. That's basically what I'm saying. And so I don't know if that's, like, his, like, actual new, that's his always been, like, that sort of, like, reserved, kind of whatever, in control energy, or if that's just a side effect of everything going on or whatever. I feel like Jimin's somebody who likes to kind of be able to control things around him and stuff like that. And so when he feels like, and this is just, I don't know, assumption, Shinaverse, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So when he can't, maybe he becomes more reserved, or not sure. Okay, so that is sort of like how they looked and sort of an assessment of the experience of kind of like them vibing and stuff like that. It was just so nice to see them have fun. It was good stuff all around. So let's talk about Lizzo. You know, Lizzo is somebody that I greatly admire. Like, I admire her so much. What she's been able to do, we're so similar. We're both Black, tall, fat women. She's older than me, but she really came into her own in her 30s. And, like, just, like, she's somebody that I admire and relate to so much. I relate to her even because of, like, the way she shares. And sometimes, like, she'll say stuff and about her experience. And I'm like, yeah. And, like, one of the things that I really relate to her is how she's such a live person. And by live, I mean, like, as she's grappling with a thing, she has a compulsion to share, you know? I relate. I totally relate. And so, you know, sometimes following her can be a little hard because I feel like she oftentimes, the way she exists in the world hits up against some of my, like, sore spots in some ways. And so I can't follow her all the time. But I admire her so much. I'm rooting for her so much. I just think she's amazing. And so seeing, and she's just been so instrumental to my development as a creative person and sort of, like, the way I see myself and the way that, you know, I feel like success can happen with me and, like, when it can happen with me. And so, and then, you know, my journey to BTS, and it's so funny because, like, I feel like I'm so far in this. And it's so easy to get stuck in my head about BTS in some ways. But the reason why I got into them is because I was really sad, like most people. And they brought a lot of light into my life and they've changed my life in a lot of ways. Obviously, this platform, me talking to you guys, the stuff I've manifested, just like a ton of great stuff. So just like seeing them together meant a lot from that perspective. But the reason why it like means more is that there's always been this like, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, is the space that BTS occupies in respect to other women is something that's highly politicized as far as like who they'll talk to, who will they date, how will they react to certain situations. I'm getting ahead of myself, but even like there's so much talk about how BTS is going to react to Chloe Bailey. And it's just like always this question that ARMY wants answered, but they don't. It just depends on like what's going on and what's the vibe around ARMY and like who it is, right? Because I mean, not to like have the fat phobia showing, right? The reaction to Lizzo and BTS is a lot different than BTS and like a white celebrity or something like that. Do you know what I mean? There's always like this different energy around it. And even compared to Megan Thee Stallion, who's like a thin person, everybody was like, no, nah, nah, nah. Didn't really hear any rumors about Lizzo and the other members, despite the fact that she has publicly talked about how much she likes them and how attractive she thinks that those guys are. So that is that. So, I mean, but that's like another thing. So them interacting was an interesting case study in this kind of like study that ARMY has been doing about how BTS will react to certain situations, certain people, whatever, is in a way to kind of like get a sense of like who they really are. Because, you know, it's so funny that these like, in some ways, I feel like we know that we are in the simulation. Like I always say that, like, do you know that you're in a fantasy? Do you know that you're in the porn? And sometimes I feel like most of the time I'm like, no, nobody knows. Nobody's acting like they know that this is a simulation. But like stuff around like how would BTS act if this makes me realize that people do actually realize that there's some aspects of BTS that are just sort of like we don't know and we can't know. And so having this data in place helps us kind of like really put our pieces together as far as our reactions. I know a lot of people were surprised about the reaction between Jimin and versus like Tae, who was just like all about it, singing, having fun and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that it is nice to have, especially again, like Black women, and I mean, I feel like fat women specifically have a really kind of tenuous relationship around also the conversations. And we're going to talk about Jimin saying that Lizzo was attractive or some version of the word. And we'll talk about the fat phobia around that. I guess I should have mentioned that before, but we'll mention that. Like having Lizzo being there with BTS, it's just nice to see whenever you go on the internet and people are like you know, BTS might not spit and throw up on a fat person. And people are like, oh, what? Oh my God, they'd never. They said that they like Blake Lively. They said that they have these types. It's just like really weird how people get really personal about the types. And speaking of that, I'm just going to go ahead and talk about this. So in they when they were at the American Music Awards, you know, Jimin, apparently translated by Namjoon, said that she was attractive, like very attractive. And so many people sent this to me, and like I'll share the clip on Instagram. The interviewer was like, oh, is there a love connection? And then Jimin got so shy and he was just like just cheesing and looking so shy and cute. And it just was like a really sweet thing. And it was also like a big deal because, especially that it's so funny that this happened with Jimin specifically, but because I feel like his fans especially are like, they would never, blah, 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 blah. But the fact that he said that, because he's never like, you know, they don't go around calling women attractive, really. Seeing him say that was just like, it's just fun and nice to see. And I think there was a lot of conversation of like, what did Jimin mean when he called Lizzo attractive? Maybe it meant charming, enchanting, or whatever. And I just, again, the fat phobia off of that is just like so ridiculous. Like if Namjoon said attractive, just like take him by his word. And why are you trying to take something? It's just, you know, like I said, this war around ARMY's over BTS's preferences and the political implications of their preferences is just really fascinating to me, while how people are invested in perceiving them. I know this is also like a side effect of, like, you know, like I said, especially considering the fact that, you know, K-pop is inherently fat phobic and all this, you know what I mean? So like within the context of that, you know, people have always made assumptions that they must hate fat people and they like whatever. And like, especially when the Jin likes thick bitches allegations come out, people are always like, no, they mean a chubby person in Korea, which is like, you know, still tiny. And by the way, I went to South Korea. They know what a chubby person is. And like, I know that like online people are like, oh, you're like, everybody's considered fat. Like literally everybody's considered fat in South Korea. But I think people who are considered like actually chubby are like really like chubby people. Like if he says he likes a thick bitch, then Jin likes a thick bitch. Like what is it that you're not understanding? What's not clicking, Steven? Cash at me right now. Oh my God, that's horrible. It's the gummy. So yeah, like, so like having, so people were doing a lot of arguing and speculation about what Jimin meant by when he's saying that. A lot of people were like, excuse me, doesn't this translation mean whatever? And it's just like, let people, it's a cute moment. He said what he said and he meant what he said. And I mean, it is like, you know, it's always a shame that these types of things have to be noted. But when you live in a kind of like a community that really makes it a point to, I've talked about this before, right? Like the sort of, I miss the K-pop, you know, K-pop guys and black women thing. I've talked about this on this podcast before. And sort of like what that is all about is, like I said, being a part of a society that, so you are somebody who is on the receiving end of a culture that is like taking, you know, taking from you. And yeah, you wonder if the people who are part of this culture, that's something that you like, this fantasy industry, if you are allowed to participate in that fantasy industry as a black person, and especially as a black fat person or whatever. That's sort of like what that original channel was about back in the day, where they sort of like, oh, by the way, it's a YouTube channel where this woman used to just like create records of all the interactions between K-pop, like K-pop stars and black women. And it's sad. It's definitely sad. But again, like I said, when I talked about this like months ago, I said that it comes from just an inherent need and want to feel like you're attractive and that you can participate in the fantasy as well. And so Lizzo and like, and then so like also in that interaction, in that interview, Tay was like recreating the hug, and it was something, apparently it's something that really kind of made an impact with them. And, you know, they became Twitter friends and all that stuff. Like they really enjoyed meeting Lizzo at the concert. And I just thought that that was, I just think that it was great. I feel like we're spending so much time on this and we shouldn't. But yeah, I think that they had a lot of fun with her. I think that, and right, I'm going to talk about the next things with SZA and that whole situation. But yeah, just to like leave it on Lizzo, I think she's like a really fun, bubbly person who like went up to her, like showed them a good time, was vibing, it was fun, introduced her to her sister, and it just seemed like it was good vibes all around. And so, you know, I think it just is a big day for, and again, it shouldn't be a big day, right? Like I always say, like, one of the things, the problems that I have with people who kind of have discourse about this stuff and like Black women free yourselves and like all that stuff is that like it comes from a place of no compassion. And if you're a Black woman, especially if you're a Black fat woman, the idea of Jimin calling you attractive would, well, maybe Jimin specifically, I don't know. But like that idea that like one of your K-pop guys might deem you attractive would seem ridiculous. Or you know what I mean? That situation could be positive for a lot of people is something that they would not imagine because of the way society has taught us about desirability and like what you can pull and everything like that. And I've also even seen this around the concert and stuff about like, there's just so much like people going into people's content with their outfits and being like, you're so pretty, you'll get so-and-so, and like the competition around it and stuff like that. And the perception of like, you know, who has the best chance, and they're so much closer to the standard, so they have more. And it's just like everybody like torturing themselves, and like even like, you know, these are the hot fans, these are the da, da, da. And I'm totally, oh my god, I'm totally guilty of this as well, because, and it's, oh my god, it's still like one of the most popular comments on this TikTok. All the creators who are Namjoon fans are like these like baddies, like just whatever. And I commented on one of them. I was like, it's hard out here. All of like Namjoon's fans are baddies. And it's such a popular comment, but it was totally me falling victim, even though I am like the biggest proponent of this idea of like, you can pull whoever the fuck you want, you know, all that stuff. And like, it's energy, blah, blah, blah. You never know. I've done this rant before. I think it's like in my first episode. Even I can fall victim too, because it's like big programming. So yeah, so like, and it's not to say that there was a love connection or whatever, but just like being in the space, having somebody appreciate a Black woman for being who she is just like nice to see. It's like it's a vibe, it's an energy, it's something, we love to see it, as they would say. So that's the Lizzo interaction. I want to talk really briefly about the BTS SZA thing. So I'm just going to touch this really quickly, really fast, is because I just think it's like illustrates a really interesting dynamic of the human experience that I think is fun. So basically the tea is that like SZA sort of did a tweet about how like Lizzo tried to introduce them, but they just didn't care. And then obviously she got in a lot of trouble. There was arguments back and forth, you know, people saying SZA was a liar, people throwing racial slurs back and forth. It was like a really messy, gross thing for both sides, both ARMY and what are SZA stands? What are they called? I don't know. But I feel like the whole thing was just like, because, and what's so interesting about this is just like, I think that in her heart, it's one of those things where you are thinking about an event and she like apologized and she like changed it in her phrasing and stuff like that. And then like ARMY has a picture of her like getting hugged by V at some point. And so people are like, oh, and then there's also a video of Jimin trying to talk to her apparently. And so they're saying, oh, she lied or whatever. And I was like, no, we don't know. I think what it was is that it was awkward. I just think it was like an awkward situation. I think that, you know, Lizzo was a lot of the, so okay, first of all, like those motherfuckers, like there's a language barrier, like a real serious language barrier. And I'm saying this because like in my time in Korea, the gulf between like Korean and English is huge. And even if you know like basic phrases, both parties speak too quickly and with too much intricacy, and like, you know, it's too intricate for us to even like catch some of the stuff if you're not a fluent speaker. And so you're drunk, because like SZA and Lizzo and all of them were drunk, so you're drunk. You're in an awkward situation where everybody's watching you and you don't speak the same language, and you're naturally kind of a shy, introverted person, which is something SZA has said. So at the time, it could be interpreted that like they just didn't care, or they were like at the concert trying to watch the concert. You know what I mean? Like, but in her experience, that's how she felt. And I think that it was just an overreaction to kind of react to her I don't know, like, maybe she could have phrased it differently or whatever, but, like, that's, it was just, like, a human interaction, and she was responding to the human interaction, and that's how she reacted. But, and again, we talk about, like, sort of, like, the way that ARMY isolates BTS is because you have to be so careful with your language around them, and you can't even express the experiences you have with them because you have to make sure that it is kind of, like, ARMY approved. And so she was like the victim of that. Was she, I mean, like I said, is she lying? Like, just like, if you see the shot of like V hugging her, she doesn't seem happy about it. Like, she was like stiff and like not into it. So it just was probably awkward. They may have just like not really melded, you know. They're trying to maybe be careful about the pandemic and distance and stuff. There's a lot of things that could have contributed to her feelings and her saying that being valid, while also it not being a big deal, and it could just be a true thing that, and it's like, just because they hugged doesn't mean that they were like, you know what I mean? You can't like interpret what you see to be a very like to that conclusion necessarily. Her events could be accurate as well. Like I said, they could have just met. Neither one was putting that much of an effort in. Like, maybe, like, you know, SZA didn't like introduce from her them, you know, herself. She like Lizzo introduced her and stuff like that. But I did see the footage, and he did say hi and stuff like that. But, you know, we don't know what happened there. I just wanted to that's my feelings about it, is that like, I think this is a really good example of how like, you know, celebrities are just like us. It was awkward. She kind of used a phrasing that she probably didn't think it was going to be an issue, because she was basically, and she said that they were nice though. So she probably thought it was innocent, and it wasn't, according to ARMY, because of the way that kind of like the policing around how things are said. I just thought that was interesting, which is why I want to talk about it. Like, I checked it out. I didn't go too deep into it, but I just do think that it's fascinating, not because of the fan reaction, but just because it's like, sounds like just like a like no vibe, kind of awkward, weird social interaction that SZA probably wanted to exclude herself from that narrative. But because ARMY was like, oh, tell us, she probably felt insecure about it. And maybe she did feel like, you know, they didn't really care about who she was in a way that, you know, she's used to being affirmed. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I guess she knows now, which is a shame we're not going to get a BTS SZA collab. I'm not actually a SZA person personally, but I feel like that'd be cool. That'd be cool. So yeah, so that's that. I guess we can sort of move on to the American Music Awards. And I think the best thing to do first would be to just like, you know, talk about the overall experience. I did not watch the whole ceremony because I don't like award ceremonies, especially with BTS there, because there's just so much like clout chasing. It's awkward. The camera's always awkwardly on them, all that stuff. But I did see them win the awards. I saw their performances and all that. So, but first let's talk about the fits. The red carpet fits. They're terrible. They're terrible. Again, we talk about like how like the BTS comes to you in different forms. I was talking to my designer about some t-shirts I'm designing, and she was like, oh my gosh, like, did you watch the American Music Awards? And she was like, yeah. And she was like, I don't know, like those suits. And I was like, I know, they're terrible. And, you know, she's not even into BTS, but she's working with me. And so we were just talking about how, you know, that collection, there's a lot of interesting things that could have been put that they could have worn from that collection. And so these choices are just actually, should I do a TikTok video about that? Actually, let me write that down. The Louis Vuitton collection, there's a lot of things from the collection that they pulled that could have been more successful and could have been more interesting, could have showcased their personalities a little better. Beyond that, the tailoring of the suits are awful. Ironically, this is the king of irony. Jin is the only person whose pants fit. Everybody else's pants are just like, it's awful. It's just terrible. Like, why are they in these gray suits? Why? The stylists have access to all of the clothes and still we're here. There's this really good video by Luke Lamar in Hot La Mode, and where he kind of does fashion reviews and he like roasts these looks. And I was like, yes, drag them, because it's just, it's like, obviously their bad styling has nothing to do with BTS, but it's like, the stylists have access to all these fucking clothes. Even if they were to go into the different Louis Vuitton collections, there's so much there. Why these gray and black suits? And I know that they're, and this is like what's really weird about this, and this idea to appeal to the West, but they're in the music industry. And so like everybody dresses like crazy every time. It's just like, whatever. The suits are terrible. And we'll talk about the butter fits, because those were better in my opinion. At least everything fit. The butter fits, everything fit. It was unique, different personalities while also being different color, different, like the same cohesion. We'll talk about a little bit. Okay, so the suits, like starting from the left. So I will put the picture that I'm talking about on Instagram. Okay, so starting with V, the suit is like, he looks hot because he looks hot. The pant fit, they look wrinkled. The crotch is super low. It's just not a good situation. Like, the sleeves are all wrinkled. I feel like the suit might have worked if there was like a brighter color underneath. Like, you'll see, like, we'll talk about Jimin is like a little better because of that. But it just is like, doesn't fit him. It doesn't work. I feel like Suga's suit is probably the best. Like, it kind of fits him okay. The color's nice. The hair looks good. But there's like no accessories, nothing really bringing it together. And it's kind of, yes, Jin's fit. Sorry, I just had a thought that I cannot say here. Okay, Jin's pants, I think, are like the best sort of fitting pants that I feel like I've ever seen him in. They're great. I feel like his suit is good. I mean, even if he had colors, I feel like Jin looks the best. As usual, you know. I'm just kidding, not as usual. You know what I mean? He just always looks good. But it's just interesting that usually he's not fit well, and today he just randomly is. I don't get it. So that's Jin. JK looks super hot, but like the suit is terrible. But he looks like a fanfic character, does he not? Shouting out Shanna again, K-pop. What is it? Channel, what is your thing? K-pop trash? Fanfic trash. K-pop fanfic trash. She has this amazing fanfic. Love to hate. And this is like him. And he's like all the ones where he's like a billionaire, kind of like playboy, horny type of dude. This is what he looks like. And again, it goes back to what I'm saying about he's slowly becoming all the fanfic versions of himself. It's very odd. he looks hot from the waist up, but the pants are horrible. It's just terrible. Namjoon also, it's just bad. It's so bad. And what is up with these shoes? It's terrible. The color's nice and his hair looks amazing. Oh, we didn't talk about Suga's hair. Orange hair. Love it. Do I love it? I love it. Yeah. Let me not be a hater. I love it. I love it. It's fine. Suga can't do anything to ever make me feel like he's not the sun and the moon, any day. So I love Namjoon's hair. I was mentioning on Instagram that I feel like it's like kind of vintage. It like reminds me, not like vintage, but just sort of like reminds me of like another era of Namjoon, like before, like maybe Persona or even Idol a little bit. But there's just something that feels very like old school about Namjoon. Right now. The color's nice, but it's just like such a boring ass suit. I think Jimin's black and pink at least gives it more because it's got the color. Again, with these like awful shoes. And Hobi, how could they do this to my man? And I really question his judgment. Like, how did he let this happen to him? You know, how did he let this happen to him is my big question. Like, it's terrible. So those are those fits. So if I had to pick a favorite, I would probably say Jin. I think he looks the best. I actually really liked the butter fits. I think that the pants all fit weird. I really like. Okay, speaking of the performances, in the butter performance, like literally Suga looked like he was just like had eaten spaghetti right before he got on the stage. Like he was growling his his lines out. Like, he had never has rapped butter like that before. Like, he was like, I was like, why are you growling, sir? Is that necessary? And the fit was getting like, again, the unclification of BTS is always happening. I really loved Hobie's tweed suit. I thought it was great. It's a great color. I really liked everything. Like, these fits are really good, in my opinion, even though, you know, it's yellow. I liked kind of the vintage. And you know what's so frustrating about this, right, is that what's so good about these fits is that they represent their personalities and stuff. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. They represent their personalities more. Like, you know, you have the vintage cut on V, sort of like the more like kind of old school 20s gangsterish fit on Suga, even with the hair. Jin, sort of like the long classic coat and sort of the look there. Again, you know, JK just wants to look like uncle, like a hot uncle. That's his dream in life with the glasses and everything. So that fit's also good. I really like this Namjoon fit. I think it's just like a really nice balance. It's a nice bright color that brings out his skin tone. I also think that the, like I said, the Jimin fit is really nice, really delicate, kind of just like goes with him. And again, yeah, I really like the Hobie fit. I think it's iconic and it all looked really, really good on the stage. So, yeah. Like, I don't understand. Did the tailors like unionize? Like, they did the one thing and then they were like, you know what? Hell no, we won't go. We're not doing this anymore. And they fucking just quit before they could fit the Louis Vuitton stuff. I don't know. Okay, so there's a lot of moments to go through for the American Music Awards. And so I'm just going to go down my list of things that I want to talk about. And sorry if I don't hit everything. I feel like this podcast is already getting really long and I'm trying to get it out for you guys. So what do I have on my list? First thing I have on my list, I think I already talked about the interview in which Jimin sort of said that Lizzo was attractive, some of the stuff around that. The interviews in general, I hate them. Hire Sasha, won't you? If you need her information, hit me up. I can direct you to her TikTok. She's very funny. She's very informed. It's just like, I just don't understand how we're not really interviewing BTS anymore. But like, I don't know if it's that the management doesn't want to give different, I don't know. Like I said, these events are horrible. I hate them. Like, I really don't. Like, I remember how I used to really like it, but I feel like my anxiety has kind of gone up. Okay, so moment number one was the sort of performance between Coldplay and BTS, I guess. I don't know. Like, I feel like the performance, I think the song, I feel like I liked it more in the beginning, but I feel like the more I hear it, I'm just like, I don't know. I think that they just seemed so happy to be back on stage. It was just really heartwarming to see them respond to ARMY and sort of get that attention and get that energy. We'll talk a little bit about how a lot of them sort of use that energy for evil. JK, I'm looking at you. But yeah, I mean, I guess it was like an energetic performance. There was like some issues with the mics and stuff, but I don't know. It just was like, the fits are kind of like, I know that people like the fits. I did not like them. I thought they were like not great versions of like their mic drop fits versus the really futuristic kind of more mic droppy fits of the My Universe video, which I really liked those fits. I feel like these were just like kind of like they were too silly almost. It felt kind of like ridiculous. But yeah, the performance was whatever. I know there was like a lot of conversation around the audience reactions. My favorite audience reaction was to the new edition, New Kids on the Block's battle. By the way, New Edition, it's not too long. It's not too late to stand. It's not too late to stand. Like, it was just crazy how much energy they had than any of the other performances. I tried to like check in and I was like, oh, this is so boring. So like, I feel like they just really gave, like, as far as like best performances, they just really got up there and did that. I mean, they ate New Kids on the Block up, but watching them vibe to New Edition, it was just like a really fun monumental moment. It's really funny how they were like modeling the choreography and sort of were like copying it as they were doing it, and they were up and just seemed to really enjoy the performance. Also, Tae met Giveon and they had a little interaction where he reached out and shook Tae's hand right in the middle of the performance. Like, listen, he knows he's not gonna like miss that. So that was fun. Let's see. So there's that moment when they were, yes. So literally there is this clip of Namjoon dancing to New Kids on the Block, and he's doing like this step, and I literally like, it's the sexiest, just like cutest, most Namjoon. I didn't even know that he could two-step like that. Like, it was just so, it's just great, and it just was like, it's so fun to see him react. And again, I like, dancing is always like stop and go. Like, sometimes he's like, oh, I love it, and he gets in the groove, sometimes he doesn't. But like, seeing him dance like that, he just again was giving, literally, again, when I talk about the millennial mom energy of BTS, like, he's just like giving, like, at the cookout, you know, hanging out type vibes. And of course, we have to talk about the Chloe Bailey performance and BTS's reactions to it. Again, like I said, about sort of like the relationship diverse people have with BTS and their preferences is really interesting, and how, you know, the Normani video is legendary, right? It's legendary among, and again, like, we take a compassionate perspective about these things. We don't say, you know, people are wrong for feeling this way. We accept it, right? And so I think people were looking for another Normani style reaction. And honestly, for me, it just is like, you couldn't really see much, but they were definitely into it. They were bopping their heads. Jin was my most, like, my favorite. He, like, is like, I think he does like a thumbs up or something. He's like, yeah. I just like imagine like Jin in the strip club or something, just being like, yeah, you go, drop it, girl, drop it. Like, I love that. And I was definitely looking like, I saw this on TikTok too, and I literally had this thought for all of them. Like, I was like looking at them all, and I was like, wow, BTS at the strip club. How they react. But Namjoon was just like moving his body, like had his hands all out, and it's like, okay, Namjoon, we got it, we got it. You continue. This whole night was, again, like, oh my gosh. Speaking of, I forgot to mention this. I'm glad I mentioned this. That girl who, there's this TikTok. Again, I'll put it in my Instagram so you can see it, where she sort of like is double takes at Namjoon. And it reminded me of that one lady who was security for them, who was looking at Hobi, and she was like, oh my God, the double take of Namjoon. Both people who have the Black community in their clutches, I just thought was really, really funny. Like, she was like, oh man, wow. And oh my gosh, you know, it was so embarrassing. I went into the comments of one of them, and they were like, isn't that the same lady who did it before? And I was like, man, this life, this world, it's just not it. But yeah, that clip was so good. It just is always nice. Like I said, I think it's, there's something really special about having BTS interact with people outside of the BTS system. I may say this the best in her TikTok about this, when she was talking about how, like, the reason why it hits so differently and so weirdly is, like I said, everything that they do is so controlled. The speeches were fun. Like, I loved how Suga spoke in Korean. We love that. You deserve that. Get it, man. It was so sexy. But yeah, like, I already said that Suga was on one, right? I'll make sure and check back and make sure that I discussed how on one Suga was during his performance. All the fucking growling, please. And the moment with JK was so cute. he was like, focus on. It's something that will definitely live forever and ever. So you know what? Also, speaking about like the American Music Awards overall, I just think it's really fascinating, because like, BTS was by far the biggest artist there. Like, none of the major players were there with them, and so the whole night was really focused on them. Like, there really wasn't many people there as far as like really big celebrity. I guess like Bruno Mars and Silsonic, they performed at the beginning, and I guess Olivia Rodrigo, but as far as like big sort of like more legacy names, they weren't there. And so BTS was really the only act, and I just think that's fascinating how they're taking up so much. You can basically create a whole award show around them. Like, if BTS wasn't there, what would they have done? You know what I mean? So that was another thing about the American music awards in general, is that it just like had this like energy of like, where are all the celebrities at? Like, really, like BTS by far was the most famous there. And I wonder when they seem so relaxed and at home and like it was their event.
So the Butter performance was absolutely outrageous in its kind of like attack, I would say. They were simply, you know, happy to be there, shall we say that? Like I said, I really enjoyed the fits from this performance, as far as the fits and representing their personalities and all that good stuff. I just liked it. But the Butter performance, what I loved about it is just, yeah, they just were just like excited, and it was just like so fun for them to perform in front of ARMY again, and the audience members were losing it, as they should. Like, can you imagine? Like, I just feel like I was looking at the video and seeing how close they were, and I was like, oh my god, like, I don't even know if I have the nerve to be right there. Like, there's this picture that I shared on Instagram, and one of these girls like gripping her head like, oh my god, like, this is too much. And I was like, yeah girl, like, I feel you, it is too much. Butter is such like a sexy performance song, and I feel like they also all get to kind of really like lean into their personalities. The waving of the audience is just so funny. I'm like watching the performance again as I'm talking to you. Oh, New Kids on the Block. It just is so sad that Megan was not here. You know what? That's, I think, the other reason why I didn't feel like there was enough celebrities. I feel like Megan also kind of plays a big role. And I wonder why Lizzo didn't go. You know, she was around for sure. I guess she doesn't have a song that's nominated for American Music Awards. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And this Suga moment where he was just like, Suga's sort of look and the energy was so good. And it was just nice to see them perform in front of people. Everybody sounds good. They got their mics figured out. Everybody's on their feet. So yeah, I preferred the Butter performance, but that's because everybody knows that I love Butter. I'm a Butter evangelist. I think it's a really good song. But yeah, everybody looks good. The performance was amazing. I really, really love this Namjoon. And like I said, Tae's just been unleashed, and I'm just like happy that they're out and they're enjoying themselves, and I'm excited to see them in a couple days at this point, which is wild. Really, really wild. Oh, I totally forgot. I didn't get to see the live at all. I only saw clips of it because when I tried to go, I couldn't get in. But I did see what is now my favorite video on the internet, which is Jin opening the champagne in the manner that he did. That was both joking and hot. And this is what I'm talking about when we talk about like why I'm obsessed with Jin and why I want to marry him. It's just, it's all in there. Am I in love with Jin? Nah. Maybe. But I just love that video. JK, so I think originally when the JK thing said that like, oh, he might be spoiling things because he said focus on, but I feel like it seems like he just was like just going to be saying focus on ARMY or something like that, and that he wasn't actually spoiling anything specific. I don't think that JK is a spoiling type, really. He doesn't really say enough to spoil, so I don't think he would, you know, accidentally spoil there. Also, oh my god, I forgot to mention, I think, did I mention JK's menace? I told you guys. Don't record. Don't take gummies and record your podcast, Shanae. JK during the performance was just, it just, I think I already talked about it, but I just like, every time I conjure him, he did this like eyebrow raise flirt thing. And again, if you're that close, how do you even deal with that? And like I said, and I don't know. It's probably for the best. I shouldn't meet BTS. I shouldn't be there. It's too much. It's too much. What else do... Oh, so yes. So I am going to be at the concert. I'm going to be at... I'm going on December 1st with ARMY Sisters. You know, ARMY Sisters, Natalie and I are going. And I feel like I'm like close to... All my friends are TikTok royalty, man. And then, of course, I told you to go to May on the 28th. But I will be at that meetup on the 1st. And I guess I just will be around there at the same time. If you're not following me on Instagram, make sure you follow me on Instagram so that you know. Because I think I'm going to post the meetup then. I'm going to probably meet up with Patrons Little at first, but it might just be like everybody kind of just come whenever and I'll just be posted up with my drink and we can scream, I guess. We'll see how it goes. And let's see. What else? Let's see. I think that's it. I feel like I missed something that I'm supposed to talk about, but if not, maybe I'll kind of address it next week. Like I said, I don't know. I guess I'll be talking about the concert, but maybe answering some other random questions about, you know, that I didn't get to. I hope I got to everything. So yeah, we talked about Chloe and the impact and them breaking. I guess I didn't say fully that, like, clearly all of them were breaking their necks to see her. It's just so funny. Like, I wish we got more. Like, I need like a front view, a really clear, good front view. And that desire for that is really fascinating. The LA terror of them being here. I've been very open and clear about that. So I think that's it. Hope you enjoy this episode. I will see you soon. Okay, bye. I'm not sure.